Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Appreciate Tim Hasselbeck for joining us. You can weigh in on the conversation at 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our question of the day from earlier in the show, do you know how to drive a stick shift?
Pretty simple.
Yep.
Jinx.
Jinx. Oh, man. Damn it. Gosh.
Got him.
I can't talk for another hour. Good luck.
Yeah, no, not going to do it all by myself. The Titans had their joint practice with Atlanta today. We had Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on earlier, and he said one good. Basically spent the whole interview trying to find something nice to say about him. Cam Moore didn't look great. Everybody didn't look great.
Just said it was a bad day. It was
a bad day.
You know, and got to go out tomorrow and do it. You know, and you hit something earlier. I mean, that a theme that's been like for the last year, maybe 2 years, came out sluggish, came out looking a little tired. I mean, that is – you got to come out and I know it's practice, man, but be excited about that. Be fired up to get out there and go get somebody different for a little bit. And so – it's just, we get those reports back from all around. It's like, man, this wasn't good. And, you know, and Tim hit on some things about, you know, what do you need to see Friday from Cam Ward? I really want to see Cam Ward play the entire first half. I want to see that. I want to see him come out in the set because you got one more game, one more opportunity, one more chance to do that against the Vikings next week here in town. But Friday night, let's go out there and let him have some fun. Run that off and speed it up a little bit and see what you could do because you got to do it eventually. Might as well do it now.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I think – and I liked what Tim said about playing through the first half, coming out of the locker room, playing a series in the second half. I mean, you think about back in the day, that's how it used to be. That, you know, you had – when you had four preseason games, they'd play maybe a series or two in the first. Then you'd get a quarter in the second one. You'd get the first half and go into the second half and the third one, and then the starters probably wouldn't even dress for the fourth one.
That's right. Exactly how it was.
And that's how it was. Now, since then, there has been – and joint practices have always been a thing, but it seems like there's been more of an emphasis on the joint practices where coaches feel they can control it more, the quarterbacks aren't getting hit, and they can get the work that they need out of those practices – and not, you know, not have to worry about them playing in the preseason game. Whether it's a preseason game or a regular season game or whatever,
right,
you cannot replicate the game speed and what happens in a game, even in a controlled practice.
And not only that, and this might seem like, what? But like the PA system and the crowd and the Jumbotron and goofy things, you know, find the peanut, you know, is it behind jar number four, which I could never get correct. But those are all things that happen during a game that all take away from things you're trying to experience because you got to watch it. And a joint practice, that doesn't happen. And something else that just bugs me, and Brian Callahan owes us nothing, but not speaking after practice,
I know,
drives me insane.
I know. Like, why did the head coach not speak today?
Yep.
And I'm saying this publicly, and maybe they'll hear it. I would like to know whose decision that is. Is that his? Is that Brinker's? Is that Borgonzi's? Is that Amy's? Is that Everett Geerling's, the new head of comms? Like, who's making that decision?
That's a great point.
Because I can tell you, as a fan and a media member, that's a bad decision.
It is. You know, and there's a lot of
I already don't like speaking before practice because, like, what does that really tell me? And I know he's not the only coach that does that.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches are starting to do that. And I guess there's not a requirement that you have to speak, but you had a joint practice today. Why not go up there? I mean, I want – like, is he worried about saying something that he's pissed off? I want him to be pissed off.
Did Raheem Morris talk today? I'm curious.
I don't know.
That'd be interesting if he did. And, look, again, some coaches have talked about – I think Parcells has talked about this. Ditka has as well throughout the years. Sometimes you send a message through to your team through the media. So if you get up there and say, look, today we were terrible. It's unacceptable. I'm going to bust somebody's ass because it was so bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to hit that fire, and then word gets out around the locker room. Like, oh, man, coach is mad, and you don't have to address it that way. Sometimes it happens, but this whole speaking the next day and hoping you won't get asked those questions – no, and I hope somebody asks tomorrow if Callahan does speak. He hasn't spoken to the media since Sunday morning. since right. Zoom.
Right.
So I don't know what that would be like, but it'd be great. Just get it over with, man.
I don't know if Raheem Morris spoke today or not.
The only way to get a problem taken care of is to get it head on and talk about it. Just get it over with.
Yep.
Just get it over with and say, we're terrible today, do better tomorrow. Here's why we're terrible. Here's what we're going to work on. Go on and go on. But again, he owes us nothing.
No. I'm just curious of the – I'm not – I mean, I guess I am being critical because I disagree with it, but I just want to know the thought process behind it of, you know, sitting down and like – I get that some coaches don't like doing this stuff more. I mean, Vrabel hated doing interviews. I mean, he rarely did, like, radio interviews, and he right. did them.
Yeah.
And Brian Callahan hadn't really done a whole lot of them either. I don't know if I've ever interviewed him. Maybe I have, but
Callahan?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think we have.
Nope. Did you talk to him at a hockey game?
I talked to him at a hockey game.
He's like, damn, man.
No, he didn't do that.
It's like, oh, Trace, man, what's happening, man?
615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our man Adam in Portland has weighed in. Adam, what's up?
Hey, weird question for you, because Joe just said, I want to see him speed the offense up. And I'm like, okay, I was like that too. And then I'm thinking, Will Levis could not have sped that offense up. So where's the disconnect there, dude? Like, tell me, Chase, like Ridley already looks like a good receiver again. We thought at the beginning of last year he could have possibly sucked. Like, there was completely no chemistry with those two. So I'm wondering, like, where the difference is with Levis and Cam. Like, I'm looking at it heading into the year. There's clearly something's different.
Yeah.
Everybody feels different.
Following,
like, I'm even cool with us not being a great team, but I feel like there's a difference, dude.
Okay, follow me on this. So I think that – okay, well, I wanted him to stay on, but that's okay.
Call back,
guys. My thing on this is I think DeAndre Hopkins had something to do with the Ridley thing. Because I think DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley were probably, you know, both fighting to be that number one guy, even though Hopkins is no longer a number one guy. I think that Hop and Levis were on the same page because they had played together the year before. And so it took Ridley a second to kind of get in on that same page. When Hopkins was gone, then Ridley was the guy, and you saw him really take off. And his stats got a lot better. I think from the jump, Cam Moore knew that, you know, he was coming in here to be the starter and Ridley was the number one guy, and so they worked together. So I think that's a part of it. And I think Cam is just used to the up-tempo game. I think Ridley was used to that, at, you know, both in college and then in the NFL. And now that's what they both need, but not everybody can run that. And that's the problem. Cam, I think, can.
And I think also Ridley came in here last year with a $92 million contract.
Yeah.
And to me, that doesn't piss off a couple of receivers. Like, oh, why does he get that? So there's a lot of unknown. You got Callahan's first year here. Levis unsure what he could do. So I think now he's found this little comfort level with Cam Moore, which I think is great. Because I still think that Calvin Ridley is a top 10 receiver in the National Football League. He's not the elite. There's only very few that are elite. But if they can have something together, I mean, there's some positive things here. If they can find some balance together, you get a number two receiver there who can get open and give Cam time to throw the football, good things can happen. We won't know, though, until the first game versus Denver. But I'd like to see all this at least Friday night, run that up-tempo offense and let it go and see what he can do.
I 100% agree with you. Let's you know, put him in situations that see how he's going to handle those once you get to the regular season. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your calls and texts on the Titans in their joint practice. It was a bad, bad day. But let's be honest, how bad can it truly be this year? We'll discuss coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Nah, being on the road, that ain't got nothing to do with that. You know, it's a mindset thing. It's all about how you approach the day. And it all starts off how you wake up in the morning. Feel me? And you know, we just got to be more productive and bring more energy. And like I said, it starts with the leaders in the room. And we got to come out here and bring that energy and have that momentum. I look forward to doing that tomorrow.
What can you personally do to kind of give that spark that you're talking about?
Set the tone, come out first day, hit somebody, get a PBU, It's all how you approach the guys. And really, that's it. You know, play my game, really, for real. And just talk that talk. When I do that, man, you know, you're bringing the guys up. You're bringing energy in the room.
That was Jarvis Brownlee after practice today via Teron Davenport's Twitter account. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. I mean, Joe, I couldn't have said it better myself. You kind of heard it right there. He's like basically saying they need to come out better and hit somebody.
They do.
Look, you want to set the tone, come out on the one-on-ones and pop some pads.
Look, you got the opportunity to do it tomorrow. Get out and get it done. You got it Friday night to get it done. Chris Sanders talks about the love of football. The love of football goes to practice. It goes to everything that goes involved with this. Hell, Tim Hasselbeck said, you know what? A lot of distractions now. You're getting school started with high school. But to get to the field, you know, it's time, that alone time, to work on it. And you're out there with your brothers and good thing happens. Then, you know, you work together to win games and all that. And, you know, we don't want to read that you're sluggish and that you're tired and all that. I just, you know, or you've been on the road. This team's on the road. That narrative drives me insane.
I know. And Gentry brought that up today. And I mean, if that's how they're really looking, though, then that's not good. But again, I understand why Coach did it. I understand why Brian Callahan wanted them to basically treat this kind of like a hockey road trip, be gone for over a week. Because you get rid of some of the distractions of home. It's a team bonding thing. You're together. You're, you know, practicing and then spending a lot of time together. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But if they're all looking like they're just tired of each other, then that's a bad thing.
It is. You know, and look, we talk about how bad can it be this year for the Titans. And like, we're not considering, like, I hope they go 1-16. No, I hope they have a good season, get to the playoffs, because the city gets behind teams that win like any city does. But remember, they opened the season versus Denver. Remember the last time the Titans were in Denver? What happened?
They won.
No.
No, they lost.
Mariota had the worst game of any
quarterback
I've ever seen. He got benched during that game. It was awful. And Tannehill came
in. It's not the last time they were in Denver.
Was it not the 19?
They opened 20. I think it was 21 on Monday Night Football.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. All right, the 19 season, they were out there on the schedule of 19, 22, and 25. That gets the rotation. They were terrible. They're absolutely terrible out there. You know, it's like, well, the altitude. And but I remember the week before they were talking about, well, the altitude's going to be in Denver. You're already professing defeat. Just stop that. That's why that Broncos game, it's the next one. It's so monumental important for this football team. But we do the what if. I mean, you go out there. I mean, there's two ways you could go to determine your season. You go out there and you beat Denver, you're like, all right. There's something here.
Yeah.
If you go out there and you get beat 45-0, you're done. You're done.
What if you go out there and you lose 21-17?
And you're competitive? I hate it.
Sure.
I hate losing.
Sure.
I'd be okay. All right.
Would the fans view that as progress?
Yes, because we spent the entire show telling you how bad they are. I think they'd be good.
That's what I'm saying is, and again, I'm not saying be okay with losing. But that's probably where this team is going, or this is almost the best case scenario of, hey, they don't get the wins yet, but they're right there. You can clearly see what they're missing. You can clearly see what their weaknesses are. But Cam is growing, and if you go out there game number one and lose 21-17 because Bo Nix beats you on a last minute drive,
I'm okay with that.
Be disappointed you lost, but I think at the same time, you have progress.
Yes. And I think, look, losing is never acceptable. Never acceptable.
Correct.
But fight. Show us fight. That you've got fight. You go out there and you're going to try to do everything you can to win the game. I'd be okay with that. You know, I still want to win and wouldn't be happy. But I'm telling you, I mean, that game could determine so much what goes on. But if you get blown out, like, oh, God. Then that's the whole theme the next week. But if you win that game and nobody expects you to win a game, God, what a feeling that is.
8492 says, how many bad days are they going to have already? I think Coach has lost the room.
That's a good point, man. I don't know. That was the first thing you popped up on the Twitter. It was like, I came out sluggish. It's like, oh, God, not again with this. Who knows where it ends, man? Another day to prove what you can do tomorrow. Now, if tomorrow's bad.
Oh, can you? If tomorrow's bad, panic might set in. And they hadn't even played a game yet.
Not a single game yet. So, yeah, it's a couple weeks for that to go on, man. I don't know. It's a lot of things, man, and this is what happened. I mean, somebody asked for the day. He's like, where did it all go wrong? I'm like, how much time you got? Let's sit down and talk about this.
The year was 1996, and the team decided to leave Houston.
Yeah, right. And then they came here and do all that. And so it's just funny because, you know, 21, they were the number one seed.
Is there one moment for you where you can honestly say this is where it went wrong?
Well, on the field, I mean, of course, we have the A.J. Brown thing, all that that goes on. I think that's been hammered nonstop. I think that was – I think the John Robinson firing – I think that's it. Because from what I was told, guys in the locker room were stunned.
Mm-hmm.
It was fired on a Tuesday. They went to practice on a Wednesday and were like in a funk so much that I was understood that Vrabel had to like, all right, guys, I got to call y'all in. We got to focus now. We got a game. And it was never the same after that.
Well, and Vrabel had to handle all the – I mean –
Yes.
Nobody had a press conference except for Vrabel.
Yep, that's
so
right.
So the head coach had to get up there and answer questions about the general manager getting fired that really he had nothing to do with.
Zero to do.
He's coaching. You know,
because they were number one, right, in the AFC South at that time?
They had a winning record. Yep. They were number one in the division, and she made that move. And I agree. I think it set him back.
Yep.
615-737-1025. Gilbert wants to weigh in, first-time caller, wants to weigh in on the Titans.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about my Titans this year. I'm a Houston Oilers/Titan, and I've been a Titans fan forever, man. I'm out here in California, and I still represent them, but I'm a little nervous this year just from Cali. To me, I don't really see anybody actually getting better under Callahan right now. I mean, Will Levis, I feel he played better under Vrabel. I felt Malik Willis played better when he went with LaFleur. And I think the quarterback from the Steelers that we had, Rudolph, played better under Tomlinson. So I just want to see if he can really coach a whole team and everybody get better, because last year it was turnovers, penalties, and three and outs. And I still see this in practice, and I'm just concerned, like, is this going to be the same way going into next year? And I just want to find a quarterback to grow with Ward. I mean, a coach that can – him and Ward can grow together, and I'm just not sure if he's the right coach.
I think that's a fair point. Thanks for the call, Gilbert. Don't be a stranger. That's what everybody's concerned with.
What, was he in California written on the Titans?
Yeah, thanks for listening out in California. Appreciate it.
Damn, I feel sorry. He's probably the only one out there.
But, my, you know, that I think is all of our concerns. Can Brian Callahan be the right coach to develop Cam Ward – and they grow together, and they do this together like you had with Fisher and McNair and Vrabel and Tannehill. You know, a little bit of a different situation. But that's what I keep saying. Like, if Cam Ward shows that he's getting better and the team shows that they're getting better, I think if, you know, even if it's 5-6 wins, he's back. If it's, you know, 4-5-6 wins and they're not showing any signs of getting better and the losses are just bad losses, he won't be here.
I mean, he might be gone by midseason.
Yeah, very
so
well could be.
That was never a problem with Fisher and McNair. You didn't
right.
know. And the same thing with Vrabel.
I think Bud had a couple of idle threats, you know, at times. But
what, a 95 you weren't going to fire him, or 96, you know. And so now it's like, my God, I mean, we talked to Gentry about that. It's the back of everybody's mind. If it's a bad start and Vrabel comes in and kicks their ass, you think she's going to sit idly by? No. Get him out of here. Gone. Then she's paying somebody else millions to sit around.
And
then,
millions and millions.
And frankly, I mean, if that happens, if I'm Callahan, I'd be like, good, I'm out of this nonsense. I'm done. Because
And then what do they do?
You plug in Nick Holtz or somebody else to do it. I don't know.
Well, no, I'm talking about next year. Like, if they – I mean, I would hope that somebody would be smart, and it's like, let's really – because as somebody pointed out yesterday, this team likes first-year head coaches. You know, would McCarthy or Gruden be a good option? I'm asking – I don't know. Gruden's been out of the game for a while.
All right, so let me ask you this. Who makes the decision, Borgonzi or Brinker? Here we go again. Here we go again. That's who makes the call?
Well, their answer will be like, well, we work on it together. It's a collaboration.
Yeah. So then you look.
It's a collaboration between me and Mike and Amy.
Yeah. So you look at who Brinker worked with in
Harry in accounting.
Green Bay had Mike McCarthy, and who Borgonzi. I'm sure Andy Reid's got a lengthy coaching tree of guys that are out there. But you get another offensive guy coming here, and now Cam Ward's got to learn again. I mean, there's so many questions on this football team and this franchise that would just drive you crazy.
You know what the problem is? There is a big problem in the NFL, and I see it more in the NFL than I do in college football. And I will tell you what I mean. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, here on this Tuesday, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday.
Hey, tomorrow night at the Omni Nashville Hotel down at Bar Lines, if this bar could talk, songs and stories from Bar Lines featuring some of the best singer-songwriters in Nashville. It starts at 5 o'clock. It is free and open to the public. Anthony Billups, James Gregory, Curtis John, Wade Fitzgerald will be down there at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines, brought to you by Three Ring Circus Music. If this bar could talk, go down there. It's free. Some great music, some great singer-songwriters at Bar Lines tomorrow starting at 5.
We will be there, of course, on Thursday.
Yes, sir. Berlin,
so looking forward to that. All right, so here's what I think the problem is in the NFL. I don't think there are as many good head coaches as there used to be.
Ooh.
I think there are a lot of really good coordinators that become head coaches, and that's the natural progression, but then they're not good head coaches.
Right.
Like, let's use a few. And look, there's examples of, like, Mike Vrabel wasn't a great defensive coordinator. He's a good head coach, you know, and I granted it was 1 year being a coordinator, but I mean, like, think about it. I mean, now we're starting to see, you know, some guys that as they get more experience, they look to be pretty good head coaches, but they were these, you know, especially offensive coordinators were these, like Brian Callahan was one of those that everybody was looking at him like, oh, he's out of that system. He's been in good, you know, good with good coaches. He's going to be a great head coach.
All right. I got a list. All right. I'm going to go rapid fire. You give me a grade, A to F. Okay. Who's Sean at the Buffalo Bills?
Sean McDermott. A.
Mike McDaniel.
Probably a C right now.
All right. I'll give him a D. They're so underachieving. Mike Vrabel.
B.
Aaron Glenn. Don't know much about him yet.
He's new.
John Harbaugh.
A plus.
Zach Taylor.
That's a hard one. B? B minus?
She said. Stefanski.
With
Cleveland. Sorry.
Yeah. C.
Mike Tomlin.
A.
Yep. D'Amico Ryans.
I'd say a B right now.
Steichen with the Colts.
D.
Okay. We can't do the Jags because he's first year. Sean Payton in Denver.
A plus.
Andy Reid.
A plus.
Pete Carroll.
A plus.
And Jim Harbaugh.
A.
Yep. Who's the coach? Shanahan? Which not Shanahan?
Kyle in yes. San Francisco?
No. Dallas coach. Schottenheimer. Sorry.
Brian Schottenheimer.
His first year.
Yeah, first year.
Dabble.
Brian Daboll?
Yeah.
D.
Yeah.
Good coordinator.
Yeah. Sirianni, Philadelphia.
I would say now an A.
Yep.
He won a Super Bowl. He's gone to two Super Bowls.
Yes, sir. Dan Quinn.
I want to say A, but I'm going to say B plus.
All right. We can't do the Bears first year. Dan Campbell.
B plus.
B plus. That's a good one. Green Bay, LaFleur.
I would have said for a long time B minus or B, but I'll probably say A minus.
Yeah, he's done good with Jordan Love. Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings.
I think he's pretty good too. B.
We got to skip Atlanta. We'll skip Carolina. We'll skip New Orleans.
Is this Raheem Morris' first year in Atlanta? No.
Yeah, last year was his first year, right? Because he had because Arthur left.
Yeah.
All right. Raheem Morris.
C plus.
Okay. Is it Canales or Carolina? Is that here his first year?
This is his second year.
Yeah.
You look towards the end of last year, maybe C plus, to, but on approaching a B minus.
Can't do Kellen Moore first year.
Yep.
Tampa Bay's coach.
Todd Bowles.
Todd
He's
Bowles,
been there a while.
Thank you. Yes.
B plus.
B plus. Cardinals. I don't remember that guy's name.
D. But I know who you're talking about.
Sean McVay.
A plus.
Okay. Kyle Shanahan.
A plus.
And then the guy from Seattle that came over, Montgomery from the Ravens, DC.
Mr. Burns.
Right? Mr. Burns.
C plus.
Okay. Yeah. So you're right. There's not that powerful head coach that scares you to death that's out there. A lot of them want to be buddies, you know, and I think that's a problem in today's game. That's why you look at, like, you know, you take Mahomes away from Andy Reid. Yeah, I mean, he's lucky. I mean, he had McNabb in Philadelphia. I mean, he's a great coach, and it results of being, you know, winning championships. But you can't do that. But I think right now, and you had an A-plus, the first A-plus out of your mouth, John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I mean, he's won one Super Bowl. I get it, but he's been there since 2008.
I know, but he's been consistent.
Consistent's a great word.
He's been consistent, and, I mean, now he has an MVP. He's had a three-time MVP quarterback, but, I mean, Joe Flacco was good, wasn't great.
Yep.
I mean, that's what's impressive, is he won a Super Bowl with a stifling defense.
He did.
So, but again, like, I, you know, I think everybody thinks Ben Johnson's going to be a good head coach because of, based on what he did with the Lions and Jared Goff specifically. But time will tell. You know, Aaron Glenn, he interviewed here, was up for the Titans job. Like, I, you know, everybody thinks they're going to be good. It's kind of like when we had John Robinson on, and I, you know, I was leading into the Treylon Burks question and made the, well, you know, obviously you think he's going to be good. And he kind of joked, like, well, yeah, you always think that's,
right.
You know, so that's kind of what these GMs think when they hire these coaches, that they're going to be the next Bill Walsh or Belichick or whatever. But I just feel like they're not.
You remember when Robinson got the job and they talked about how great him and Mularkey were together, and they rode from Nashville to Mobile together. You know, they kind of did a little road trip together, and we were sold that false bill of goods, and then, you know,
yeah,
a year
well,
later,
I mean,
it's kind of like, oh, my gosh. Again, that goes back to
my guy syndrome.
They want their guy. Borgonzi eventually is going to want his guy. I mean, it happens. And the first opportunity, he
but
gets
is that
his
bad?
Guy.
Is that bad?
It depends on who your guy is, man.
Right. I mean, right. Is your guy the right guy? Because if your guy isn't the right guy, then you're not the guy either. You're out. But
you're out on your butt.
But – I mean, I do understand to an extent of, like, you want to bring in your people to do what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean, that's what, you know, you feel look, good about that.
Look, we can play revisionist history. I like Mike Mularkey. I think Mike Mularkey set the culture for this organization. He righted the ship at the right time. They won the playoff game because Kelsey got hurt and a couple of plays went their way.
But they won.
I think there was a ceiling with him, and I don't believe they would have surpassed it had they not made the change. I think hiring Mike Vrabel was the right move.
Still one of the most bizarre press conferences of all time.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, of course it was. But, you know, it is what it is. But it's just an interesting observation. Another thing that I have been laughing at watching on Twitter today is I guess it was reported that Odell Beckham Jr. was retiring, and that's a false report, and he's been tweeting, like, stop texting me, happy retirement, I'm going to block you.
Oh, gosh.
Like, I'm not done yet. So I don't know what happened there, but that kind of made me laugh.
Just go away. Just go away. You don't go to camp. You're a distraction for a lot of things. Just go away, man. You're done. Go away.
Right.
You got your Super Bowl ring. You got your millions. Just go away.
No,
guys, if he's never happy anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because my people might be like, well, you know, you'd bring him in. Like, why not give him a shot? Well, if somebody wanted to give him a shot, he'd already be in a camp.
Right. And they don't want to go to camp anyway when they don't have to.
Yeah.
It's more work. Just give me the money.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays here on this Tuesday. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, wrapping things up. DVD coming along here in just a few minutes. Look forward to hearing their take on Titans joint practices today. Also, Trevor Maddich scheduled to join them at 4:30 as well. But right now, it's time to get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Use their electrical division for installations, inspections, upgrades, and more. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have Baseball Fans Day. Gotta love baseball.
Heck yeah.
IBM PC Day. I believe, nice. IBM, yeah, okay. Yeah. International Youth Day. Shout out to the youth. National Julienne Fries Day. I guess it's
Julienne?
Julienne, maybe? I don't know. It's a weird fry. I don't know. Maybe it's
it might be
Julie,
like Julianne's a how you cut something, like the specific type of cut.
Well, okay, maybe that is.
Look at this.
Just call it a shoestring fry.
I
have
no
like.
Idea.
You call yourself a restaurant guy.
I'm not a French fry guy, I'll say that.
Julianne, like it.
Okay, next is National Middle Child Day.
Woo!
There you go.
Mary Jane's.
National Sewing Machine Day.
That explains
Day.
A lot.
It does.
National Sewing Machine Day is today. Truck Driver Day. Shout out to those truck drivers. They love listening to the game. Vinyl Record Day. If you have a vinyl record collection, reach out to me. Would love to see that. World Elephant Day is today. So
we got an elephant sanctuary down in Hohenwald.
Yeah. And you did, was it you that told me that elephants look at us like dogs?
They do. No. We look at dogs the same way elephants look at us. Like they love us. We love dogs. Elephants love people.
Yeah.
Good to know.
It is. Do you ever eat circus peanuts?
Afraid to answer the question. No, Joe, I don't.
Elephants like circus peanuts, the little orange candies.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither. I just made that up. So keep going.
I'm done. It's all yours.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Time Good for job. Celebrity birthdays.
Did we learn what about Tokyo
yes,
yesterday?
I found out it's not a radio station.
Yeah, I know. Good job.
Did you tune in, though?
Oh, yes.
All right. Celebrity birthdays. Our first birthday. Oh, the most handsome actor, George Hamilton. How old is George Hamilton?
57.
74.
86.
Nice.
Bruce Greenwood, the actor. He was an iRobot and about 1,000 other things. Oh, he was JFK in 13 Days.
Ah, I like him. 65.
72.
69.
Nice.
00. Go down here, see some more. Oh, the great actress, Yvette Nicole Brown. She's in the TV show S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yep. Avengers Endgame, she's in. Portrayed a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in Avengers Endgame.
I wonder which one she was. 41.
53.
54. Rebecca Gayhart. She was on 90210. She was Dylan McKay's wife who was killed in the car wreck.
Oh, yeah.
Rebecca Sad Gayhart. Episode.
That's when he left.
That's right.
I know my 90210.
Oh, it's so sad.
58.
62.
54. Casey Affleck. Not the duck from Affleck, but Casey Affleck.
Ben's brother. 44.
53.
50. Dr. Green's up 1-0. I don't know who that is. All right. Let's see. Oh, lead guitar player, singer of Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler.
71.
73.
76. Singer Kid Creole of Kid Creole and the Coconuts. Creole? Creole? Kid something. Kid Creole.
I don't know. 42.
53?
75!
I have no idea who that is.
Jazz guitar player Pat Metheny.
63.
72.
71. Dr. Graham's up 2-0. Lead singer of Confederate Railroad, Danny Shirley. He likes his women a little on the what side? On the trashy side.
Mm. 61.
75.
69. Rapper Sir Mix-a-Lot.
60.
58.
That's 62. Chase on the board. 2-1. actor Michael Ian Black from the TV show Ed. He's always on the VH1 Best Week Ever stuff. Comedian, too.
Who?
Michael Ian Black.
54.
Chasers tied it up at twos. All right, we got three sports birthdays. Boxer Tyson Fury.
37.
Chasers taking the lead 3-2. Former Kentucky basketball player Antoine Walker that played for the Boston Celtics.
49.
Chaser killing up 5-2, 5 unanswered. Our last birthday, Pete Sampras.
74. 71.
54. Yeah. Chaser wins 5-2. Good job, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Especially the one texter that loves celebrity birthdays.
Oh, gosh, yes.
You can stop now. With that, let's get to our mashup today. It's showtime, folks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday.
There was a guy leaving the hotel wearing chaps that were, I can't use a word on the radio, but.
Assless chaps, you can say it.
Okay. And a fishnet shirt and a cowboy hat. And I was like, Chase, there's your Halloween outfit. And Peyton's like, man, I ain't coming out. And he goes in, and Osweiler puts his helmet on. Have you seen that? Yeah. He walks, and he sees Peyton. He's like, what the hell? And he goes back to the sidelines, and he's done that way.
What did Peyton say?
He said, man, I ain't going to the game. It was a terrible game.
A draft duel or a fan kings or whatever it's called on your cell phone. That's Bill Belichick. Yeah, no, we don't bet on football. I wouldn't bet on you guys right now anyway.
I told you, I thought in junior college, the first 2 weeks, my whole name was GD. That's what I thought.
Do you know how to drive a stick shift?
Pretty simple. Yep.
Jinx. Oh, man. Damn it. Gosh.
Got him.
I can't talk for another hour. Good luck.
Yeah, no, not going to do it all by myself.
Zach Taylor.
That's a hard one. B? B minus?
She said.
Oh, boy.
Those will never get old. Never.
They won't. Like celebrity birthdays.
No, they won't.
Which presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standard. So we've added a little new wrinkle to the end of the show with what day is it, celebrity birthdays, and now
the mashup.
What'd you miss?
I like the little Elton John behind it. That's pretty good.
You're welcome.
Yeah, nice job.
Man. Yeah, that was good.
All right, we leave all the shows all the time with our message out there to the men. If you're struggling or going through anything, please reach out and talk to somebody. Please reach out and talk to someone. We tell you all the time, your journey sometimes could be rough and bumpy, but I'm telling you, there's a smooth road ahead. You might have a dark cloud, but sunshine is there. Remember, every bad storm runs out of rain, and we need you here. You're beautiful. We love you guys. Please, if you need to talk to somebody, go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Chase and Big Joe Show, and there's a click down for Unity Psychiatric Care. It's safe. It's affordable. Please go there. Talk to somebody. They have offices here in Middle Tennessee, and they care. They care about you. You do not have to go through this alone, and help is just around the corner. Again, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Information is there for all the stuff you need about if you're going through something of mental health. I'm telling you all the time, we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. On the way out, caller number 4 at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to see Linkin Park at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, August 21st. So that is just down the pike. Caller number 4, 615-737-1025. You can go see Linkin Park at Bridgestone Arena Thursday, August 21st. DVD is coming up next. They'll give you their breakdown of the Titans joint practices today. They'll be joined by Teron Davenport of ESPN at 3:20 and 4:40 today. Trevor Maddich of ESPN, he'll give his take on Cam Ward and so much more. That is going to do it for us. Join us again at noon tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.